I'm Joan Stevenson, editor of JAMA's Medical News and Perspective section. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Akbar Panju about myocardial infarction, an important topic covered in a section of the Rational Clinical Examination that was co-authored by Dr. Panju. Dr. Panju, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Okay, I'm Akbar Panju. I'm deputy chair of medicine at McMaster University Department of Medicine and Medard DeGroot chair of medicine at McMaster University and head of General Internal Medicine at McMaster University. I'm a clinician, researcher, and an educator.
Dr. Panju, what do we know about the incidence of myocardial infarction, and what demographic features affect the incidence?
Studies have been done to calculate the incidence for myocardial infarction overall, and then separately for ST segment elevation myocardial infarction and non-ST segment elevation myocardial infarction. And we have known that in the last 10 years, there has been a gradual decrease in the incidence of myocardial infarction in some studies of up to 24% relative decrease. We also know that ST segment elevation myocardial infarction has decreased more than the non-ST segment elevation myocardial infarction. Compared to 10 years ago, patients presenting with myocardial infarctions are older, more likely to be female, less likely to be white, more likely to have coexisting illnesses such as hypertension, dyslipidemia, and diabetes, and more likely to have undergone previous coronary vascularization. We also know that the decrease in incidence of myocardial infarction was greater for those who lived in the most affluent neighborhoods compared with those in the least affluent neighborhoods. We also know that mortality over the last 10 years for myocardial infarction has decreased from about 10.5% in 1999 to 7.8% in 2008.
What findings from history and physical examination are helpful for identifying the patients with chest pain who are most likely to have a myocardial infarction, and which findings are not helpful?
So features in the history which have a high likelihood ratios and therefore increase the probability of myocardial infarction in patients presenting with chest pain are chest pain that radiates to both arms, chest pain that radiates to left arm or right arm, and chest pain that radiates to right shoulder. If there is nausea or vomiting associated with chest pain, that increases the likelihood of chest pain being due to myocardial infarction. A recent history or a past history of myocardial infarction also increases the likelihood that the patient with chest pain has probable myocardial infarction. Now, physical findings that have the high likelihood ratio and therefore increases the probability of myocardial infarction are chest pain associated with hypotension, particularly if the systolic blood pressure is less than 80, or if they are diaphoretic or sweating, or if they have pulmonary crackles on auscultation, or if they have a third heart sound on auscultation of the cardiac precordium. Now, physical findings and features that decrease the probability of a myocardial infarction in a patient presenting with chest pain include chest pain that is pleuritic in nature, chest pain that's described as sharp or stabbing, chest pain that is positional, and chest pain that can be reproduced by palpation. We also know that cardiac risk factors like hypertension, smoking, diabetes, family history, and none of these cardiac risk factors emerged as independent predictors in a patient with chest pain suggestive of myocardial infarction.
I understand there are three management strategies used to determine the diagnostic groupings of acute chest pain. Would you describe these for us?
So the available therapeutic options that we have create the categories for patients presenting to the emergency department with chest pain or other symptoms suggesting of myocardial ischemia. So the three distinct management strategies determine the diagnostic groupings clinicians use clinically at the present time. So the first group of patients are patients who present with chest pain and whose electrocardiogram shows ST segment elevation features or a new left bundle branch block. The current treatment for those patients would include percutaneous coronary intervention or thrombolytic therapy. The second group of patients are patients who present with chest pain and who have myocardial infarction without ST segment elevation, in other words, non-ST elevation MI or new left bundle branch block. These are patients who also have unstable angina with high-risk features, and this group requires intensive monitoring, most likely in the coronary care unit. immediate administration of antiplatelet agents, use of anticoagulation, and probably coronary intervention if they become unstable. The last group, the third group of patients, are low-risk unstable angina or patients in whom the chest pain may have some atypical features and they may have non-ischemic chest pain. And these are patients who could be admitted to an intermediate care setting or a ward bed and have non-invasive diagnostic testing work done to establish the diagnosis and the plan of treatment.
What other conditions can present with symptoms suggestive of acute myocardial infarction?
The chest pain can be produced by multiple conditions, and this is because a lot of structures in the thoracic cavity share the nerve supply and nerve pathways with the cardiac afferent fibers. Broadly, one can divide chest pain into two categories, and these are cardiac chest pain or non-cardiac chest pains. And cardiac chest pains can be further divided into cardiac chest pain secondary to ischemia or to non-ischemia. And chest pain due to ischemia are angina, unstable angina, and myocardial infarction. Cardiac non-ischemic chest pain are pain secondary to pericarditis, aortic dissection, or some valvular problem. On the other hand, the non-cardiac chest pain can be divided into two broad categories. These are gastroesophageal chest pains or non-gastroesophageal chest pain. In gastroesophageal chest pain, one has pain secondary to gastroesophageal reflux, esophageal spasm, or peptic ulcer disease. And in non-gastroesophageal non-cardiac chest pain, one has chest pain secondary to pulmonary embolus, to pneumothorax, due to musculoskeletal problem, and maybe somatoform or panic disorder.
What are the current reference standard tests for myocardial infarction?
Well, the current reference standards used to make a diagnosis of myocardial infarction uses the use of cardiac markers. These are troponin levels. Troponin levels now are used to make a diagnosis of myocardial infarction with the EIS electrocardiographic findings. So after clinical symptoms are used to identify patients with possible ischemia, the ECG and troponin results take precedence in making the diagnosis of myocardial infarction. The case definition for myocardial infarction has changed with the validation of troponin levels. This means that the new definition diagnosed more patients with myocardial infarction to the point that the new definition of myocardial infarction with troponin would lead to an absolute increase of 7.7% in the incidence of myocardial infarction.
When reviewing the literature, how do the more accurate reference standards affect our interpretation of data from older studies? Are the clinical features more important or less important with current biomarkers?
So the change in myocardial infarction definition using the troponin levels or other cardiac markers affect the sensitivity and specificity for clinical symptoms and signs. But unfortunately, the direction and the magnitude of the effect are presently unpredictable. Older data on the clinical examination applied to the current diagnostic standards may lead to either underestimate or overestimate of the utility of symptoms and signs. So the most reliable estimate for clinical examination will come from studies that compare the results to current definition of myocardial infarction. So at the present time, we await the results of further studies that could use the new markers and new definition of myocardial infarction in estimating the sensitivity and specificity of the clinical features. So at the present time, the value of individual clinical symptoms and signs in the decision to admit or discharge the patient has not been evaluated with troponin-based case definition.
Dr. Panju, is there anything else you would like to tell our listeners about diagnosing myocardial infarction?
All I can say is that over the last couple of decades, we have come to understand myocardial infarction a lot better with the new case definition and the use of biomarkers. I believe that history and physical examination combined with the biomarkers will help a clinician in making the right decision for the patient and then institute the right management strategies for patients presenting with chest pain to an emergency department.
Thank you, Dr. Panju, for this overview of myocardial infarction. For additional information about this topic, JAMA Evidence subscribers can consult the Rational Clinical Examination. This has been Joan Stevenson of JAMA talking with Dr. Akbar Panju for JAMA Evidence.